I've gotten repeated requests for some readings, so here is one. The very famous Gajendra Mokshana, which begins in the second chapter of the eighth canto. Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, there is a very large mountain called Trikuta. It is 10,000 yojanas high. Being surrounded by the ocean of milk, it is very beautifully situated. The length and breadth of the mountain are of the same measurement. Its three principal peaks, which are made of iron, silver, and gold, beautify all directions in the sky. The mountain also has other peaks, which are full of jewels and minerals, and are decorated with nice trees, creepers, and shrubs. The sounds of the waterfalls on the mountain create a pleasing vibration. In this way, the mountain stands, increasing the beauty of all directions. The ground at the foot of the mountain is always washed by waves of milk that produce emeralds all around in the eight directions, north, south, east, west, and the directions midway between them. The inhabitants of the higher planets, the Siddhas, Charnas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, serpents, Kinnaras, and Apsaras, go to that mountain to sport. Thus all the caves of the mountain are full of these denizens of the heavenly planets. Because of the resounding vibrations of the denizens of heaven singing in the caves, the lions roar there, being very proud of their strength, roar with unbearable envy, thinking that another lion is roaring in that way. The valleys beneath Trikuta Mountain are beautifully decorated by many varieties of jungle animals, and in the trees, which are maintained in the gardens by the demigods, varieties of birds chirp with sweet voices. Trikuta Mountain has many lakes and rivers, with beaches covered by small gems resembling grains of sand. The water is as clear as crystal, and when the demigod damsels bathe in it, their bodies lend fragrance to the water and the breeze, thus enriching the atmosphere. In a valley of Trikuta Mountain, there was a garden called Ritumat. This garden belonged to the great devotee Varuna and was a sporting place for the damsels of the demigods. Flowers and fruit grew there in all seasons. Among them were mandaras, parijatas, patalas, ashokas, champakas, chutas, pialas, panasas, mangoes, amaratakas, kramukas, coconut trees, date trees, and pomegranates. There were madhukas, palm trees, tamalas, asanas, arjunas, aristas, udumbaras, plakshas, panyan trees, kimshukas, and sandalwood trees. There were also pichumardas, kovidaras, sharalas, sharudarus, grapes, sugarcane, banana, jambu, badaris, akshas, abhyas, and amalakis. In that garden there was a very large lake filled with shining golden lotus flowers, and the flowers known as Kumuda, Kalara, Utpala, and Shatapatra, which added excellent beauty to the mountain. There were also Bilva, Kapita, Jambira, and Balhataka trees. Intoxicated bumblebees drank honey and hummed with the chirping of the birds, whose songs were very melodious. The lake was crowded with swans, karandavas, chakravakas, cranes, and flocks of water chickens, datyuhas, koyashtis, and other murmuring birds. Because of the agitating movements of the fish and tortoises, the water was decorated with pollen that had fallen from the lotus flowers. The lake was surrounded by kadamba flowers, betasa flowers, nalas, nipas, vanjulakas, kundas, kurubakas, ashokas, shirishas, kutajas, ingudas, kubjakas, svarnayutis, nagas, punagas, jatis, malikas, shatapatras, jalakas, and madhavilatas. The banks were also abundantly adorned with varieties of trees that yielded flowers and fruits in all seasons. Thus, the entire mountain stood gloriously decorated. The leader of the elephants, who lived in the forest of the mountain Trikuta, once wandered toward the lake with his female elephants. He broke many plants, creepers, thickets, and trees, not caring for their piercing thorns. Simply by catching scent of that elephant, all the other elephants, the tigers, and other ferocious animals, such as lions, rhinoceroses, great serpents, and black and white sharabas, fled in fear. The chamara deer also fled. By the mercy of this elephant, animals like the foxes, wolves, buffaloes, bears, boars, gopuchas, porcupines, monkeys, rabbits, and other deer, and many other small animals loitered elsewhere in the forest. They were not afraid of him. surrounded by the herds, other elephants, including females, and followed by the young ones. Gajapati, the leader of the elephants, made Trikuta mountain tremble all around because of the weight of his body. He was perspiring, liquor dripped from his mouth, and his vision was overwhelmed by intoxication. He was being served by bumblebees who drank honey, and from a distance he could smell the dust of the lotus flowers, which was carried by the lake by the breeze, from the lake by the breeze. Thus, surrounded by his associates who were afflicted by thirst, he soon arrived at the bank of the lake. The king of the elephants entered the lake, bathed thoroughly, and was relieved of his fatigue. Then, with the aid of his trunk, he drank the cold, clear, nectarian water, which was mixed with the dust of lotus flowers and water lilies, until he was fully satisfied. Like a human being who lacks spiritual knowledge and is too attached to the members of his family, the elephant, being illusioned by the external energy of Krishna, had his wives and children bathe and drink the water. Indeed, he raised water from the lake with his trunk and sprayed it over them. He did not mind the hard labor involved in this endeavor. By the arrangement of Providence, O King, a strong crocodile was angry at the elephant and attacked the elephant's leg in the water. The elephant was certainly strong, and he tried his best to get free from this danger sent by Providence. Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in that grave condition, his wives felt very, very sorry and began to cry. The other elephants wanted to help Gajendra, but because of the crocodile's great strength, they could not rescue him by grasping him from behind. O King, the elephant and the crocodile fought in this way, pulling one another in and out of the water for 1,000 years. Upon seeing the fight, the demigods were very surprised. Thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical, and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength, and sensual power. When the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of Providence and, being embodied and circumstantially helpless, could not save himself from danger, he was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of Providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile, and therefore I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even of great personalities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and influential. Therefore, although the serpent of eternal time, which is fearful in force, endlessly chases everyone, ready to swallow him, if one who fears this serpent seeks shelter of the Lord gives him protection, for even death runs away in fear of the Lord. I therefore surrender unto him, the great and powerful Supreme Authority, who is the actual shelter of everyone. Chapter 3. Gajendra's prayers of surrender. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind and his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indrajumna and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. The king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of him, this material body acts due to the presence of spirit, and he is therefore the root cause of everyone. He is worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva, and he has entered the heart of every living being. Let me meditate upon him. The Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests, the ingredient by which everything has been produced, and the person who is created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, he is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding his own energy, keeps this cosmic manifestation visible and again sometimes renders it invisible. He is both the supreme cause and the supreme result, the observer and the witness in all circumstances. Thus, he is transcendental to everything. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. In due course of time, when all the causative and effective manifestations of the universe, including the planets and their directors and maintainers, are annihilated, there is a situation of dense darkness. Above this darkness, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I take shelter of his lotus feet. an artist on stage being conversant by attractive dresses and dancing with different movement is not understood by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages, and certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods and sages nor the unintelligent can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words his actual position. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Renunciants and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone, and who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of Brahmacharya, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, desire to see all auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material birth, activities, name, form, qualities, or faults. To fulfill the purpose for which this material world is created and destroyed, he comes in the form of a human being like Lord Ram or Lord Krishna by his original internal potency. He has immense potency, and in various forms, all free from material contamination, he acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahman. I offer my respects to him. I offer my respectful obeisance unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self-effulgent Super Soul, who is the witness in everyone's heart, who enlightens the individual soul, and who cannot be reached by exercises of the mind, word, or consciousness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in transcendental existence of bhakti yoga. He is the bestower of uncontaminated happiness and is the master of the transcendental world. Therefore, I offer my respects unto him. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Vasudev, who is all-pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Nrisingadev, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Varahadev, to Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, to Lord Buddha, and to all the other incarnations. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance within the material world. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. I beg to offer my respectful obeisance unto you, who are the Super Soul, the superintendent of everything, and the witness of all that occurs. You are the Supreme Person, the origin of material nature and of the total material energy. You are also the owner of the material body. Therefore, you are the Supreme Complete. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. My Lord, you are the observer of all the objectives of the senses. Without your mercy, there is no possibility of solving the problem of doubts. The material world is just like a shadow resembling you. Indeed, one accepts this material world as real because it gives a glimpse of your existence. My Lord, you are the cause of all causes, but you yourself have no cause. Therefore, you are the wonderful cause of everything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the shelter of the Vedic knowledge contained in the Shastras like the Pancharatras and the Vedanta Sutra, which are your representations, and who are the source of the Parampara system. Because it is you who can give liberation, you are the only shelter for all transcendentalists. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. My Lord is the fire, and not any wood is covered. You and your unlimited knowledge are covered by the material modes of nature. Your mind, however, is not attentive to the activities of the modes of nature. Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subject to the regulative principles directed in the Vedic literatures. Because such advanced souls are transcendental, you personally appear in their pure minds. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial features, Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisance unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My Lord, those who are completely freed from material contamination always meditate upon you within the cores of their hearts. You are extremely difficult to attain for those like me who are too attached to mental concoction, home, relatives, friends, money, servants, and assistants. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uncontaminated by the modes of nature. You are the reservoir of all enlightenment, the Supreme Controller. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. After worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation obtain from him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship Him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about His activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger. Thus I pray to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities, such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, he is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external materialization. He is unlimited, he is the original cause, and he is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead creates His minor parts and parcels, the Jiva Tattva, beginning with Lord Brahma, the demigods, and the expansions of Vedic knowledge, and including all other living entities, moving and non-moving, with their different names and characteristics. As the sparks of a fire or the shining rays of the sun emanate from their source and merge into it again and again, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the gross and subtle material bodies, and the continuous transformations of the different modes of nature all emanate from the Lord and again merge into Him. He is neither demigod nor demon, neither human nor bird or beast. He is not woman, man, or neuter, nor is He an animal. He is not a material quality, a fruit of activity, a manifestation or non-manifestation. He is the last word in the discrimination of not this, not this, and He is unlimited. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I do not wish to live any more after I am released from the attack of the crocodile. What is the use of an elephant's body covered externally and internally by ignorance? I simply desire eternal liberation from the covering of ignorance. That covering is not destroyed by the influence of time. Now, fully desiring release from material life, I offer my respectful obeisance unto that Supreme Person, who is the Creator of the universe, who is Himself the form of the universe, and who is nonetheless transcendental to this cosmic manifestation. He is the supreme knower of everything in this world, the supersoul of the universe. He is the unborn, supremely situated Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the supreme, the supersoul, the master of all mystic yoga, who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics when they are completely purified and freed from the reactions of fruitive activity by practicing bhakti yoga. My Lord, You are the controller of formidable strength and three kinds of energy. You appear as the reservoir of all sense pleasure and the protector of the surrendered souls. You possess unlimited energy, but You are unapproachable by those who are unable to control their senses. I offer my respectful obeisance unto You again and again. I offer my respectful obeisance unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy the Jiva, who is part and parcel of God, forgets his real identity because of the bodily concept of life. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glories are difficult to understand. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the king of the elephants was describing the supreme authority, without mentioning any particular person, he did not invoke the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and Chandra. Thus none of them approached him. However, because Lord Hari is the supersoul, Purushottama, the personality of Godhead, he appeared before Gajendra. After understanding the awkward condition of Gajendra, who had offered his prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who lives everywhere, appeared with the demigods who were offering prayers to him. Carrying his disc and other weapons, he appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda, with great speed according to his desire. Thus he appeared before Gajendra. Gajendra had been forcibly captured by the crocodile in the water, and he was feeling acute pain. But when he saw that Narayan, wielding his disc, was coming in the sky on the back of Garuda, he immediately took a lotus flower in his trunk, and with great difficulty due to his painful condition, he uttered the following words, O my Lord Narayan, Master of the Universe, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto You. Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in such an aggrieved position, the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, immediately got down from the back of Garuda by His causeless mercy and pulled the king of the elephants along with the crocodile out of the water. Then, in the presence of all the demigods who were looking on, the Lord severed the crocodile's mouth from its body with His disc. In this way, He saved Gajendra, the king of elephants. Chapter 4, Gajendra returns to the spiritual world. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, when the Lord delivered Gajendra, king of the elephants, all the demigod sages and Gandharvas headed by Brahma and Shiva praised this activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and showered flowers upon both the Lord and Gajendra. There was a beating of kettle drums in the heavenly planets. The inhabitants of Gandharva Loka began to dance and sing, while great sages and the inhabitants of Charna Loka and Siddha Loka offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottam. The best of the Gandharvas, King Huhu, having been cursed by Devala Muni, had become a crocodile. Now, having been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he assumed a very beautiful form as a Gandharva. Understanding by whose mercy this had happened, he immediately offered his respectful obeisances with his head and began chanting prayers just suitable for the transcendental Lord, the Supreme Eternal, who is worshipped by the choicest verses. Having been favored by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and having regained his original form, King Huhu circumambulated the Lord and offered his obeisances. Then, in the presence of all the demigods headed by Brahma, he returned to Gandharva Loka. He had been freed of all sinful reactions. Because Gajendra, the king of elephants, had been touched directly by the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was immediately freed of all material ignorance and bondage. Thus he received the salvation of Sharupya Mukti, in which he achieved the same bodily features as the Lord, being dressed in yellow garments and possessing four hands. This Gajendra had formerly been a Vaishnav and the king of the country known as Pandya, which is the province of Dravida. In the province of Dravida, South India. In his previous life, he was known as Indradyumna Maharaj. Indradyumna Maharaj retired from family life and went to the Malaya Hills, where he had a small cottage for his ashram. He wore matted locks on his head and always engaged in austerities. Once, while observing a vow of silence, he was fully engaged in the worship of the Lord and absorbed in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. While Indradyumna Maharaj was engaged in ecstatic meditation, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great sage Agastya Muni arrived there, surrounded by his disciples. When the Muni saw that Maharaj Indradyumna, who was sitting in a secluded place, remained silent and did not follow the etiquette of offering him a reception, he was very angry. Agastya Muni then spoke this curse against the king. This king Indradyumna is not at all gentle. Being low and uneducated, he has insulted a Brahmin. May he therefore enter the region of darkness and receive the dull, dumb body of an elephant. Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indradyumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as welcome because it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although in his next life he got the body of an elephant, because of devotional service, he remembered how to worship and offer prayers to the Lord. Upon delivering the king of the elephants from the clutches of the crocodile and from material existence, which resembled the crocodile, the Lord awarded him the status of Sarupya Mukti. In the presence of the Gandharvas, Siddhas, and other demigods who were praising the Lord for his wonderful transcendental activities, the Lord, sitting on the bank of his carrier Garuda, returned to his all-wonderful abode and took Gajendra with him. My dear King Parikshit, I have described the wonderful power of Krishna as displayed when the Lord delivered the king of the elephants. O best of the Kuru dynasty, those who hear this narration become fit to be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Simply because of hearing this narration, they gain a reputation as devotees. They are unaffected by the contamination of Kali Yuga, and they never see bad dreams. Therefore, after getting up from bed in the morning, those who desire their own welfare, especially the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and in particular the Brahmin Vaishnavas, should chant this narration as it is without deviation to counteract the troubles of bad dreams. O best of the Kuru dynasty, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul of everyone, being thus pleased, addressed Gajendra in the presence of everyone there. He spoke the following blessings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, freed from all sinful reactions are those who rise from bed at the end of night, early in the morning, and fully concentrate their minds with great attention upon my form, your form, this lake, this mountain, the caves, the gardens, the cane plants, the bamboo plants, the celestial trees, the residential quarters of me, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, the three peaks of Trikuta Mountain made of gold, silver, and iron, my very pleasing abode, the ocean of milk, the white island, Svetadvipa, which is always brilliant, radiant with spiritual rays, my marks of Sri Vatsa, the Kastuba gem, my Vaijanti garland, my club Komodaki, my Sudarshan disc and the Panchajanya Kancha, my bearer Garuda, the king of the birds, my bed Sheshanag, my expansion of energy, the goddess of fortune, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, Prahlad, my incarnations like Matsya Kurma and Varaha, my unlimited all auspicious activities which yield piety to he who hears them, the sun, the moon, fire, the mantra Omkar, the absolute truth, the total material energy, the cows and Brahmins, devotional service, the wives of Soma and Kashyapa, who are all daughters of King Daksha, the rivers Ganges, Saraswati, Nanda, and Jamuna, the elephant, Airavata, Dhruva Maharaj, the seven rishis, and the pious human beings. My dear devotee, unto those who rise from bed at the end of night and offer me the prayer offered by you, I give an eternal residence in the spiritual world at the end of their lives. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, after giving this instruction, the Lord, who is known as Rishikesh, bugled with his Panchajanya Kancha. In this way, pleasing all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, he then mounted the back of his carrier, Garuda. Hare Krishna.